So now that we've gathered the most essential information about each negative karmic pattern, we can really dive into the details. So this is where the real fun starts, and it's time to dig into the what. What happened? What choices did your client make? You already know the energetic essence and the overall outline of what happened simply based on the blocks and restrictions present in the pattern. But now we want to know exactly what choices the client made that set this whole pattern into motion. Remember, a choice is something we do. Now, there really are no dowsing protocols for this aspect of the work. You just need to use a bit of imagination and a very logical approach to what makes us, as human beings, do anything. And of course, you have to have a solid frame of reference for the different blocks and restrictions, which is why we covered them in such detail in the previous two lessons. We engage in negative choices for really only two underlying reasons. We're afraid of loss, or we have something to gain. And often it's both. We want to gain something, preferably without losing anything. Now, the things we're most afraid of losing are usually also what we most want, which is safety, first of all, security, money, power, sex, and love. In one shape or another, these are usually the underlying reasons behind our negative choices. Remember, humanity has really not changed all that much in thousands of years. So we might agree to marry someone we don't love. That's the what, that's the choice, right? Because our parents want us to do so. But chances are nobody's gonna actually kill us or lock us away in a dungeon. Instead, we allow our parents' will to determine the course of our lives because we're terrified of a loss of security and love. The reality is we do have a choice. Nobody's holding a gun to our heads, right? Nobody can make us do anything. So just make sure to maintain that empowered perspective throughout this process, always. Now, we might agree to torture and kill people. That's the choice we make. That's the what, right? What happened? What did we do? Because we're part of a religious or military institution and we're terrified of leaving, right? That would be a fear of a loss of safety. We might swindle our business partner and embezzle money because we want the money in order to gain political power. We might marry the man our best friend is in love with. We might join a religious order because we tell ourselves we have no other choice. We might give up love for money. These are all choices that people make all the time. And it's important to understand, again, we are masters of rationalization. No humans ever think to themselves, I'm going to do this bad thing. No. We come up with rationalizations for why these choices are okay. We tell ourselves we have no other choice. We tell ourselves that ultimately we're doing more good than harm. We blame others. We choose ignorance. I mean, even today, people go to jobs they absolutely hate and rationalize it, even though clearly that's a negative choice. They stay in awful and abusive relationships, and they will tell you they have no other choice because that's what they believe. That's the power of rationalization. So as you approach this, please don't make it prettier than it really is. Okay, we're all just humans. We've all made the same kinds of messes and made the same silly choices that were damaging to ourselves and others. We've all been there and done that. And you don't want to come from the perspective of that your client is any less than human. All right, so implants, as we've talked about, are usually the result of joining an organization or group and then staying in it, right? So the choice isn't, the negative choice that creates the implant isn't necessarily the joining. Usually it's the client choosing to stay, even though they realize the organization is corrupt or ill-intentioned, or they're making negative choices they don't want to make. Now, usually implants are past life, but you'll always want to ask, well, how many lifetimes ago was this implant received, right? Did my client join a group or organization in that lifetime? You'll want to ask, what kind of group or organization? Religious, political, educational, military, social, economic. There's only so many kinds of groups, and you can go through them all. And you don't really need to get all that specific with it. We all know what a religious organization it is. We don't need to know what religion. We all know what a military organization is. We don't need to know which country, which military, which war was being fought. We just don't need to know. We all have a concept of an educational institution or a political party. It's all we really need to know. We don't need to dive further into it than that. You'll always want to ask, did the client perceive personal gain from joining or from staying in the group? And if yes, what did they get out of it? And then you're going to have to use your imagination to come up with some questions based on what kind of group it is. And of course, you already know the program the implant's running. You want to ask, did the client recognize at some point that the organization was corrupt? What negative choices did the client feel they needed to make in order to stay in the organization? Because that's the thing. There's always negative choices that the client made, right, in order to stay. So what were those choices? Because that's really how that implant was created, right? It's a coping mechanism for those negative choices. So if we join a military organization and in order to stay, because we're terrified of leaving, we have to torture and kill people, we might rationalize that somehow that, oh, I'm just taking orders, right? And so this program, the implant may run a program of ignorance at the sixth chakra, right? It's like sixth chakra, we close our eyes and we're like, I'm just doing what I'm told. I don't know anything. There must be a reason for it. I don't know what it is, but I'm just following orders here. Makes total sense. Okay, so asking these kinds of questions will help you make sense of the bigger picture. Remember, negative unjustified karma is created when the soul perceived it made a horrible mistake, and you'll want to find out what that mistake was. You've already established who else was involved. You know the energetic statement. Now you want to find out exactly what your client did that caused harm. So you can ask, was the harm physical? Was it emotional? In the case of physical, you can ask, was someone injured or killed? Emotional harm is usually due to some sort of betrayal. Maybe we ran off with our best friend's lover. Maybe we gambled away all of our family's money. So by knowing who was involved, and you already have the energetic statement, you can kind of go, huh, okay, emotional harm. What could we possibly do to betray our best friend and we were female in that lifetime? I mean, automatically, don't we just go to romantic relationships? Especially if the whole thing happened six lifetimes ago. Quite frankly, women didn't have that many choices. We were, you know, pretty much running the house and making babies. It's not like we had lots of professional choices available to us, right? So if I'm female and I'm doing emotional harm to my best friend, what kind of betrayal could that be? So it could be that, you know, we're having an affair with our best friend's lover or husband, or maybe marrying the boy she's in love with, that kind of thing. It just makes sense. And what kind of betrayal would do permanent damage to the relationship where we then feel for the rest of our lives that we had to make up for it? So it's got to be something big. So this is how you can kind of figure out what questions to ask. That's why I'm saying it's a thinking process, but it's very logical. So just gather the pieces and then don't be afraid to ask questions. For present life issues such as negative guides, which obviously are always present life, or engagement with independent negative thought forums, you'll want to ask, well, at what present life age was this negative guide hired? Or at what present life age did the engagement with the independent negative thought form start? And then you'll just want to ask the client, hey, what happened around that age? And that allows the client to gain understanding of the choice they made in this lifetime. So for present life issues, there's not nearly as much research to be done. I mean, for a negative guide, all you really need is, you know, what position they were in, about what age they were hired, and what program are they running? And then you just talk to the client, hey, what was going on in your life during that time period that you felt like you had to cope with it in this way? And usually your client will be like, oh, that's when we moved and I had to go to a new school and I was being bullied, you know, that kind of thing. So stay focused on the grounded situation and the choices that the client made. Don't get stuck on little details and let your imagination guide you. What else could the choice your client made have been? Be playful with it. It's fun. The only way to do this process wrong is to allow your mind to tell you, I don't know what to ask, right? then just ask silly or stupid questions to get yourself unstuck. And if you hit a dead end in your questioning, step away for an hour or so. Now, what I've done in your written materials is I've included examples of pattern groupings and then all the questions that determine the soul story, as well as the complete soul story based on those questions as they would be presented to the client. Now, it would be impossible to cover all the various pattern groupings and stories that could possibly come up. I mean, the human experience is incredibly varied. That's human nature, and that's what makes our work so interesting, and that's what makes this process so fun. So please study all the examples. So they're intended as a guideline to teach you how to approach the soul story process. They're not a template to follow. Here's exactly what I asked. They're not a protocol. All right? We had very set protocols, and I told you exactly what questions to ask all the way through. But now it's time for you to get a little creative and play detective and have some fun, but in a very structured way and with the intention of always figuring out, well, what choice did the client make? So these examples are just there to help you figure out how to get into this thinking process, how to uncover soul stories, what kinds of questions you might ask. So they're really there to almost like teach you the thinking process behind getting the soul story. By no means are they protocols. They're not templates for exactly what to ask. Don't turn them into templates or protocols. Please don't. Really allow yourself to be more liberal in this process. You have a cohesive frame of reference. Trust it. You're also a thinking, reasonable person who has common sense. Trust that as well. And just ask yourself, well, what choices could my client have made here? And then you just ask a question and you'll get a yes or a no. It takes some practice, but over time you'll get very quick at this. Now in the beginning, it can be a little bit laborious. Sometimes you might have to look back at different definitions for different blocks and restrictions just to make sure your frame of reference is intact. I know that it's a lot of information, but over time, this is the most fun part of doing these sessions, because dowsing for all the information is going to be super quick. I mean, you'll just zip through the protocols to figure out what's there, and then most of your time will be spent putting these stories together, but you do become far more efficient and effective at it as you practice. Don't be surprised if a few times you find yourself going blank, right? This is the other thing. Sometimes this process puts us into resistance, because we are stepping into a greater level of authority here. We really are. I'm kind of turning you loose, setting you free of set protocols, and you know, you get to ask your questions now. Well, sometimes that freaks our ego out a bit. So this is a point where some people go into resistance. It's also sometimes what brings up resistance, because the next thing that you'll be doing is presenting to your practice clients. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that's also where you will get confirmation of your accuracy. It's very normal to be incredibly nervous about presenting to our practice clients. So sometimes at this point, we stall out a bit, and we tell ourselves, oh, I don't get it, or this is hard, or oh, I don't know what to ask, right? Because what we're really scared of is doing the presentation, because we really care about having done this work accurately so far. So just acknowledge whatever might be going on for you, any triggers that you're experiencing, and just see it for what it is. If you need to take a break, take a break, but then come back to it. And remember, you really have all the resources you need to be able to do this very accurately. And, you know, please have fun with this.